You are the leaves and the branches which the Holy Spirit rustle. And when they see the things coming forth in your life, they know that it cannot be you. It has to be something else. Just as when they saw Peter and John, and they took into account that these men are unlearned, and they realized there's only one difference. They have been with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something now on their lives that is more than human. And that's the Holy Spirit. So in chapter 2, we have the Holy Spirit in Mordecai's life. And notice that Holy Spirit, Mordecai warned. He was the one who revealed about Bigthan and Teresh, doorkeepers who became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. The Holy Spirit will protect you and your loved ones. Even if you're married to an unbeliever, we of course realize that the Bible tells us that you should not be unequally yoked. But if you're already in that state, already in that situation, the Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that your family and your children are sanctified. The word sanctified means that they have a special watch over their life. To be sanctified means to be set apart. In other words, God treats it as something different and special from the ordinary. To be sanctified means to have a special case on you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says here, what happens if one is a believer, one is an unbeliever? In chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, it says, verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Sanctify means set apart. Now, Ahasuerus doesn't really know Almighty God or Yahweh God. Esther was the one who knew God. Esther was the one, in this case, he was not a picture of Jesus, but Esther was the one who was sanctified. But yet, there is a certain measure of protection that came upon his life through Mordecai. Without Mordecai, the king may have died. If the king dies, Esther is the one who ends up the loser too. And so for your sake, the salt of the earth, the surroundings and the circumstances around you are preserved. So if you walk right with God, I'm talking about walking right with God. There are Christians who don't walk right with God. And God is not obligated to protect you because you open door for Satan. But when you walk with God, you can be sure that God will protect you. I know one of my friends whom you may have known him, evangelist, and one day he got into a plane and he was in India. And as the plane was coming down, it was shaking. And it looks like it wasn't going to fall apart or something. And the man next to him was shaking, and he was a reasonably rich man, but he was not prepared for death. And this preacher was sitting next to him and said, "Relax." And the plane was shaking and said, "Relax. Things look like in danger," but he said, "Relax." Say, what do you mean? Why relax? "As long as I'm here, the plane will not crash." Say, "Who are you?" And he says, he's a preacher, and he says his work has not been finished yet. And as long as work not finished, you know, for his sake, God will set angels to protect the whole plane. And when the man found out that the preacher was getting out on the next stop and he was going on, he really panicked. But that tells us something, why the Lord Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth," that there is a measure of protection you have that will come as a blessing on those around you. Abraham's blessing: blessed are those who bless you, cursed are those who curse you. So those who are around your surroundings, The blessing comes upon your company. The blessings come upon your office. The blessing comes upon all those of your colleagues, whether they know the Lord or not. You become an instrument of blessing, not curses. Some Christians have the wrong attitude. They go around cursing people. Anyone who is an infidel or unbeliever, they start calling down fire. The only difference is no fire come down. Only fluorescent lamps. And they don't realize that Christians are called to be a blessing wherever they go. We are not called to curse, we are called to bless. And wherever we go, what we want to see is to bring blessing to those that are around, whether people believe in Him or not. God doesn't just bless believers, believe me. Although He does have special blessings for those who believe and for believers, those who know Him. But God gives rain to the just and to the unjust. And His blessings are there. And we can be an instrument of the blessing and mercy. In chapter 3, we see the appearance of the Antichrist in verse 1. And after these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman. Now Haman, in the Hebrew, the name Haman adds up together to be 666. He is a perfect representation of the Antichrist. The Hebrew letters add up to 666. He is known as Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite. The Agagite, because Agag, if you remember, was the king of the Amalekites whom Samuel killed. And the Amalekites represent the enemy of Israel in the Bible. And so he was a descendant of the Amalekites and of the tribe of Agagites. And he was promoted. He advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. The rise of the Antichrist. And here in the church we realize that the Antichrist in person and in the flesh cannot manifest after the rapture. But what we come against is the spirit of Antichrist. As we realize that the Antichrist comes in a small types, even before the real Antichrist. We realize like people in the Bible, for example in the book of Daniel, it talks about the king of the north and the king of the south. They were actual kings. They were actual kings in the book of Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12. They were actual kings. And this king symbolized the Antichrist, especially the king of the north. And so there was what you call dual prophecy. So here is Haman. For the church age, we only face the spirit of Antichrist. But in the tribulation period of the Jews, they face the spirit and the person of Antichrist. So that's a big difference. So Haman represents the Antichrist because of his name. His name is number one. And then secondly, his hate. He hated the covenant people represented by Mordecai. In chapter 2, you notice that Haman wants everybody to bow before him. He was a right-hand man to the king. But there was one person who will not bow. There is only one spirit that the Antichrist cannot come against. The Holy Spirit. Every other spirit, every other smaller demon, all come subject to the main Antichrist, who is Satan himself. The accuser of the brethren. And that is why, in the world, those of us who are Asia realize that sometimes people seek treatments from small spirits, thinking that it will help them, without realizing that it will lead them into greater bondage in the end. Remember this, and I've got to use my words very carefully, because we are among Christians who can be quite theological and hair-splitting. Quote, unquote, let me put quotes. Sometimes, what people call, a blessing in a natural realm. Like for example, people go and seek spirits or go to the graveyard and get this, you know, empat echo and empat this and empat that and, you know, get all these things and they try to cheat and try to tap on the spirit realm in the wrong way. Or perhaps they are suffering from a physical ailment, whether physically caused or through spiritual causes, and they try to seek treatment for all these things. Remember, every quote-unquote so-called blessing that looks like a healing, looks like a financial blessing, has a price involved. In a natural world, you don't get anything free. Even what is free is paid for by somebody. You don't get something out of nothing. In the spirit world, the same laws apply. You don't get something for nothing. We receive salvation as a gift because Jesus paid the price. We receive healing as a gift because He took the stripes for us. And remember, if you want to get quote-unquote a blessing from the devil, who paid that price for you to get it? You may think that you offer some of these things, etc., will satisfy. In the end, it is all by credit. One day he comes back with his long bills. Claims the soul, claims the body, claims this, claims it all back. It's for a short period of time. So to the world it looks like a blessing because for us 1 year is a long time. 6 months is a long time. But over a period of time, you notice he claims back all those things. He only gave you a credit to put people more into bondage. There is no real freedom except in the knowledge of the living God. There's only one spirit in this whole world who can come against the spirit of the world and Satan, and who will not bow to the devil's influence, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And that's represented by Mordecai. He will not bow. And due to that, Haman demonstrated hatred for Mordecai in verse 5. Haman was filled with wrath. He was so angry in verse 6 that he didn't want to just destroy Mordecai. He wants to destroy everyone that is of his race. You can see that he was filled with hate. That's a picture of the Antichrist. See, the devil doesn't just hurt you. The Bible says in John 10 verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. To steal is to take what belongs to you, rightfully. When somebody steals, they are taking things that are illegally not, they are illegal, it is not theirs. To steal is to break the boundaries of the law. So illegally, he takes our right of help. He takes the right of your covenant. He steals. Then he kills. Then he's destroyed. Remember, Satan is not just interested in making you suffer. He's interested in killing and destroying. He is not interested in just making life difficult for Mordecai. He wants to annihilate him. And everything that belonged to him. There's no way you could make a deal with the devil, because he doesn't observe rules. There's no way you could make a treaty or a deal with a person who doesn't recognize any rules. It's only possible to have a treaty or some sort of contract when both parties observe rules. Where there are no rules, there can be none of these things. Satan is out to kill, to destroy. Remember that. He's not out to give you pleasures. The pleasures of sin that he hangs before you are carrots that he will destroy you later. He lets you eat them that he might destroy you later. And if we are aware of what he really intends to do to us, you will not accept one bite from his carrot. Sadly, some people have bite his carrot and found that it was plastic. Only God has a real one. The great disappointment. Imagine when Adam and Eve took a bite from that fruit, how disappointed they were that day.